Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 12. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Naiskarmyam Ap. Yachuta bhava varjitam, nasobate ganam alam naranjanam, utapunam shashvana badzam ishvare, nacharpitam karma yadap, yakaranam. Knowledge of self-realization, even though free from all material affinity, does not look well if devoid of a conception of the infallible God. What then is the use of fruitive activities, which are naturally painful from the very beginning and transient by nature, if they are not utilized for the devotional service of the Lord? Om Jnanatimarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vichaitanya Mano Bhishtam Dapitam Yena Bhutale Dayam Rupa Kadamayam Dati Svapadantikam Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Vipashindu Bhayebhacha Patita Nam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama Rama, Hare Hare Greetings from the Greetings from the Bhakti Center. Busy weekend. I gave two classes on Friday. We drove up to Hudson. And then I gave two classes yesterday. And then today, I gave class in the morning. I'll give class now. And then we have a seven-hour seminar for the teacher training in Yoga Maya. So I may not speak the full hour. Plus, I'll go to the class today at the Bhakti Center for their Sunday with the firm belief that someone who speaks to the audience has to also sit in the audience and listen to speakers. But first, maybe a little prayer by all of us. Some of you may know, some of you may not know, but one of our dearest Sangha members for over 7 years, Mother Indrani, left her body a few days ago. She was 86 years old. And by grace. She left fairly suddenly. In the Association of Devotees, doing kirtan. So she was blessed by God. She was blessed by her guru. And I had a very, very close relationship with her. She saw me as her Shiksha guru, and I was very inspired by her. You know, she's from another generation, even from me, and it's really something when a person joins a spiritual movement, a burgeoning spiritual movement where there's no one your age within it. Rabindra Suruprabhu once commented that about 20 years ago, that the problem with ISKCON was that Prabhupada was the only adult. And Jayadvaita Swami once said, there was a meeting about the women's issue in ISKCON and so many social conflicts. He said the problem with ISKCON is there were no grandmothers. So Mother Indrani really served that role. Someone has walked the path of life in the footsteps of those who are seeking God. It's a real strong faith to do that because, you know, generally people join a spiritual movement when they see people like them who are achieving their self-ideals. But when you only when you join a spiritual movement, you see only kids. You really have to have a deep internal faith. And her faith was sui bhavaka. It was natural. It was within her soul. And what does it say? It says that happiness doesn't come from the self. Happiness radiates, doesn't come to the self. Happiness radiates from the self. It's a natural thing. It's not a mental thing. So she had that natural piety. And the piety was bhakti sukriti. And when you have that, you're naturally humble. And you're naturally dependent. And your voice reflects that quality. Your actions reflect that quality. So, some of you may have heard sometimes she would ask something at the end of the, she lives in Alachua, at the end of the class. And you can feel such a rich dependence on God through God's words, through God's teachers, and such a deep humility. In the heart. So she was therefore. And therefore, a person like that, you never get the sense that they're envious. They don't like someone in the center. Or they're ambitious. They want to be in the center. You just have the sense that someone is satisfied where they are. And that's a rare thing, because everything in the world is giving us faith. Advertising, the exemplars we have, our own samskaras, are giving us faith that to have power and control and recognition and profit and admiration and distinction, that these are the things that will make us happy. And it's rare, even in a devotee movement, to find those who have a different type of faith, that have the faith that if I serve the center and I serve God, I will be happy. I'll just tell you my favorite story with Mother Indrani. I remember it as it was yesterday. By the way, if there's any problem with the phone, then just send me an email because I got my computer on. I don't know. I was in Vrindavan, and this is the first time Mother Indrani got to come to Vrindavan. I was walking by the side entrance that goes into Radhasham Sundar, and I saw her, and I greeted her, and she just humbly revealed her heart that because she's crippled, even then she was crippled, she couldn't really walk very well. She hadn't been able to see any of the holy places. So I told her that, you know, get your friends and I'll take you by bus. This must have been 15, 20 years ago. So imagine even then, she wasn't that well. So I remember Bali was there from Devanagari, and a real nice person named Brahma was there. Not Brahma Muhurta, a big football player type guy. And so I remember I took him to the bus, and it was raining. So we went around Govardhan, and we drove the bus into Govindakund. Some of you know where that is. And we were doing kirtan, and the place was rocking. And then we got out, and Mother Indranjan stood right by the foot of Govardhan Hill with her hands folded. It was so beautiful. And she was just saying, "My Lord, my Lord, my Lord," you know, like pouring out from her heart, like Krishna conscious gospel. And then I remember we drove the bus back, and there's a turn. And then they said, "We'd like to go to Govardhan." And I, you know, Radhakund. Now, Radhakund, you can't drive the bus in, you can only walk in. So, well, maybe it's a short walk she could do. So I remember you go down that strip to Radhakund, and then we started doing kirtan. And at that time, I remember, you know, there's people there that are chanting 1 lakh, 2 lakhs, whatever it is they do there, you know, whatever. But I saw when we were doing kirtan, and Bali was just dancing in ecstasy. I mean, you probably know him. Humble African-American Vaishnava. Just, he was dancing in ecstasy. I just remembered that the people in Radhakund were just startled. It's almost like we've never seen anything like this before. And then we got to Radhakund. Now, that's a problem because you have to walk downstairs. So I remember Bali and Brahma kind of grabbed, like, Mother Indrani to hold her. You know, like they made, like, you know, her arms are around their necks, and they kind of carried her below. They went to Radhakund. But then, of course, there's a problem with bathing. And then as we got down to Radhakund, it started to rain. And then one Brahmin came to us and told us that when it rains in Radhakund, it is raining Radhakund. So we all got to take Radhakund bath in that way. So we can all offer our prayers for her soul, which I'm sure has a wonderful destination. And it's nice that we have a little remembrance. Now I'll discuss something about today's verse. As you remember, Vyas is trying to edit the Vedas to make it relevant, and he makes a strategy. And his strategy was too indirect, which is, you know, there are different possible strategies to give someone, how to give them. You have to first build their frame of reference. You can't always say the truth without turning people away. So he made it indirect, but really there were problems with that. And the problems with it is time. People would never get to the goal. And they didn't have the qualifications to do really any austerities or sacrifice, etc. But basically, it's the latter analogy that there's 10 steps. The 9 steps are only valuable if you get to the last one. So he kind of was making a ladder to the spiritual world, but people wouldn't have time or the qualification to walk the ladder and get to the goal, which is love. The goal is love. What other goal can there be? Of course, you may have a philosophy that selflessness and purity and devotion and is illusory, but that's not our philosophy, and that's not the experience of people in the world. Of course, their love may be, it may be temporary, but the fact that that doesn't mean there's no pure love. As Vaishnavas, we believe that's the existential principle of the universe, and the fact that it's reflected here does indicate something very substantial about reality. So, beautiful thing. He was feeling dissatisfied. And he kind of sussed it out and figured it out that he hadn't really promoted the goal. And therefore hadn't sufficiently glorified Krishna. And he hadn't sufficiently glorified Krishna, so but in the same sense, when you go into the heart, it's very hard to know whether it's actually God speaking, it's your mind, or it's a combination of both, God speaking through the filter of your mind. So sometimes there is but he wants to know, and his guru comes and confirms that. Now we're in the midst of his guru's instructions, that you haven't sufficiently glorified Krishna. You haven't sufficiently glorified Krishna. And he explained the last verse. It's really interesting. That message is so relevant. And we also discussed this point that devotion is not a material qualification. Relationship is not a material qualification. If you have a relationship, it doesn't matter. To engage in a relationship, it doesn't matter. A pure relationship with God, certainly. It doesn't matter if you're learned, what your age is, your caste is. It's just a question of your humility. Can you bring yourself to bow down? Can you bring yourself to bow down? Which anyone can do from an external platform, but an internal platform, that may be the hardest thing in the world. Which we're more attached to our superiority, basically, or our sense of than anything else. But Narada is in the process of promoting it as the Abhideya Tattva, the methodology for realizing the Absolute. If the Absolute is a person, is a being, which does not have the defect of impersonality. And the only way to know that reality is to love that reality. Love, only by love, only by devotion can you understand the object of your love. Because real personhood is such a sacred thing, it has to be given. If you want to know someone, you can only achieve that if it's given. If the person doesn't care from you, they won't give themselves to you, and then you won't really know their heart. You won't really know them, actually, because what are we but our hearts, but the relationships that we have. So, So he And that's so the methodology of knowing the absolute reality, which is a person, is to love the absolute reality. And love means what? We try to please. We try to understand the desires and fulfill the will. We follow. And that develops relationship. And through relationship, then there's revelation. And that information is so essential and so core that even if it's not composed perfectly, it still has absolute value if you understand the message that is spoken. So the last verse, it said, Tadvag visargochana tadna vipavo yasmin prati shlokam abhadavat yapi. That it'll cause a revolution in people's hearts, even if it's imperfectly composed. So it's establishing that the means of realizing the absolute truth is devotion, or to turn your awareness towards God out of the desire to serve God, which we're turned from God only by our consciousness. Because God is everything. So turning from God is not turning around. It's copying an attitude of independence and separateness and not wanting God and therefore not wanting authority. Because authority rules over our desires. It takes precedence over desires. It's authority, meaning real authority that represents knowledge. It takes precedence over our desires. And if you're in the consciousness that the fulfillment of your desires is happiness, you don't want authority. You want to be independent of authority. So you can do whatever you want. And that cuts you off from God. So turning to God, turning to the divine absolute reality, that's bhakti. So now the question comes, and this verse answers it, what about karma and gyan? And Bhakti Sandarbha Jiva Goswami describes that karma and gyan is also a type of turning your awareness to God. Karma, which promotes some type of selflessness, not pure, you're doing things for yourself, but you don't just do things for yourself, you are responsible. You do what's best, not just what's best for you. And you make sacrifice. You don't just take things for yourself, you offer a portion to God and others. That's kind of like an awareness of God. And Gyan focuses on negating the non-essentials. So that's kind of an awareness of God in one sense. But the Abhideya is not Gyan or Karma. The Abhideya is direct bhakti, service to Krishna under Guru. So here in this verse, it's so beautiful. So it's talking about karma and gyan. And it says, no. It's not enough to realize the absolute truth. And if you haven't given enough bhakti, then whatever book you're promoting, whatever program you're promoting, is not of value. So it says nice karma. Even if you're free from fruit of work, you don't act selfishly anymore. Nice karma mapi. In spite of that, achutta bhava, if you're devoid of achutta bhava, you're devoid of the bhava, the conception bhava, achutta bhava, achutta bhava, the conception of achutta, the feeling of achutta of God. If it's varjitam, it's void. Nashobhyate. It does not look beautiful. It does not look well. Gyanam, alam, niranjan, even if it's free from, that knowledge is free from designation. Kuta puna shashvad, abhadramishvari. What to speak? What then is the use of fruitive activities, which are naturally painful from the very beginning and transient by nature, if they are not utilized for devotional service, if they are abhadram ishvari, if they're not good for God? And what to speak of those activities, which are not free from material affinity? So Narada is making his statement very, very clearly. It is bhakti and nothing else. Harinama, 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 eva kevalam. Hello, nasdeva, 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 gatir, anyata. It is only bhakti. It is only bhakti. It is only bhakti. It is not karma. It is not jnana. It is only devotion. Purport. As referred to above, not only ordinary literatures devoid of transcendental glorification of the Lord are condemned, but also Vedic literatures and speculation on the subject of impersonal Brahman when they are devoid of devotional service. When speculation on the impersonal Brahman is condemned on the above grounds, then what to speak of ordinary fruit of work, which is not meant to fulfill the aim of devotional service? Such speculative knowledge and fruit of work cannot lead one to the goal of perfection. Fruit of work in which almost all people in general are engaged is always painful, either in the beginning or the end. So karma kanda, when you're performing religious activities for material gains, it's selfishness, and therefore it pains one. Anything that's not love is painful. In the heart, it can be fruitful only when subservient to the devotional service of the Lord. The Bhagavad Gita also, it is confirmed that the result of such fruit of work may be offered for the service of the Lord, otherwise it leads to material bondage. The bona fide enjoyer of fruit of work is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus when it is engaged for the sense gratification of living beings, becomes an acute source of trouble. So therefore, bow your head to God. Bow your head to God, sorry to say. And teach others to do the same. You can't surrender in the past. You can't surrender in the future. You can only surrender now. And that surrender is bhakti. When the surrender is to everything. When I am available beyond my personal interest based on my karma, for the will of everything, for the will of God, the highest form of love that extends to everything. That is bhakti. And how is that available? Right now. When we say to Krishna, from to this day on, I am yours. So, one second. So, I'm not going to, I wanted to leave a little time at the end. Would anyone else like to say hello, ask a question, say something about Mother Indrani or anything of the sort? Can anyone just like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Henry.
Henry, Haribo. Wow, my vision of your house. I was just there. How wonderful it was being with you and all your guests. Thank you, Henry.
You know, about Mother Indrani, you know, I was very much inspired by her, and I was very fond of her. And I saw her last at Gaur Purnim during the Abhishek in the morning, and she was there in the center of the temple surrounded by devotees, and she looked so blissful and happy, and she was so well taken care of and loved by the devotees in Alachua, and she was a beloved grandmother, as you suggested, you know, and thank you for talking about her.
Well, thank you. That's such a nice image, Henry, you know, of her there and the care that the devotees gave. And that's a very short while ago. Come in. Yeah. Anybody else like to say hello?
Haribo Maharaj, this is Shaitanya Priya, Portland.
Oh, your god sister, huh? Haribo.
Yeah, my god sister. And strangely, I spoke to her on the 30th, and I was calling her yesterday to let her know that a project that was very dear to her heart, I had volunteered to take over that service along with another god brother in Spain, and that's when I found out that she had passed.
Okay.
So for me, Mother Indrani is one of my favorite god sisters. She has been like a mother to me. And if you could say her essence was just that, of making sure, reminding everybody that we cannot repay the spiritual master, so we do everything we can to serve him.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yes.
Anybody else like to say hello? Thank you. Chaitanya Priya. Okay, then I'm going to go today because I have a lot to do today. But thank you all. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.